So we are in a series here. We are calling this the Worship Series. And I hear you guys had a pretty good week last week, a little bit musical. I had some guest musicians, I think, up here. And, you know, the first thing I hear from Pastor Arvid is, I hope you don't fire me, you know, for what I did last week. That's always really encouraging when you come back, you know. But I'm glad you guys had a wonderful time together. But this series is kind of a reverse series. A lot of times we have songs inspired by messages or the word. And I felt a challenge from God at a concert of, what about the other way around? Because so many of us are impacted by a song that is our go-to song. It stirs up things in our hearts. And it stirs up what God wants to speak. And so what if we had a series about from messages of songs? And so I had asked the worship team, all the members, which you saw many here this morning, of some of their songs, and we went through them. So what we do is we perform a song for you. You get to know one of our worship members each week, and then a message that's kind of based upon that theme or that thought. So that's kind of the series. And I've been enjoying it. I hope you've been enjoying it too. Maybe you're getting sick of hearing me sing every week, but you know, I'm sorry. We are blessed here for the musical talents that we have from young to old, in our church. And so this morning, I hope you're blessed by the message and the song. And our guest this morning is Kate Torkelson. If you would come up and let's welcome her to the stage.
So I believe you like music. Were you doing anything musical last night?
I was at a Taylor Swift concert.
So we have a Swiftie here. All right. Did you have a good time?
I did.
Right. That was in the Vikings Stadium, right?
It was.
Oh, yeah. It must have been really good.
It felt a little wrong.
Oh, it felt wrong. The Swift part or the Viking part?
I felt like conflicted.
Conflicted. Okay. All right. Well, I know you love music. I know you love song and such. How did you kind of get into singing and song and such?
My mom and my sister.
Okay. Not your dad and your brothers?
They try.
Well, for Father's Day, my kids got me a record player. Do you know what a record player is?
I do.
Okay, all right. Now, record players were a little bit before my time, but we had them as a kid growing up. But we had cassette tapes. You ever listened to a cassette tape?
Never listened to one.
Okay. No. So back when we had cassette tapes, and all those, you know, 80s people, you wouldn't know this, we'd have the radio on, but we'd have our cassette player ready, a blank, because if our song came on the radio, we'd hit record, and we'd make our mixtape, which... I mean, you know, maybe Guardians of the Galaxy, he's got his, right, there you go. That was our mixtape. So we'd have to wait for our favorite songs, and then we'd record it. Now, today we have something a little different. It's called Spotify, which, if you guys don't know, we do have a Spotify playlist that you can search for, Grace Community Church Worship Series, that you can listen to all these songs. And it's a little bit easier, I think, because all you have to do is what? Right click and add to playlist?
Yep.
So I've heard that you've, and some here have, a pretty substantial playlist of worship music. How many songs are in your worship playlist?
I don't know how many songs, but I think it's like 14 hours long.
14 hours of worship songs.
Yeah.
Isaiah, how many's on your list? 8 hours? Okay. Kaylee, what do you got? She's looking. 35 hours of worship on her mixtape. And finally, Sam, where are you at? Oh, Kaylee might have the record here. 29 hours. Can you all imagine how many cassette tapes that would be to get 29 hours? But it is so cool that you have... at your fingertips, so many songs. One, the music that's available with singers and groups, and then being able to add those. So what is it, Fridays you guys look forward to? Is that New Music Fridays or something?
Release Radar, I think.
Release Radar. Okay. All right.
Yep.
So I just think it's so cool what's at our fingertips, you know,
yeah.
and you're a generation, you know, that has so much music available to you. So, and I think this is one of them, a song that I think you said you threw into a mix, didn't really listen to it, and then one day you did. So
yeah.
Tell me about what are we going to perform here, you know, the song and the group and what it means to you.
It's called Preference, and it's by Rachel Morley. And I found this song on a Friday, and I added it to my worship playlist, and I kind of forgot about it. And then one day I was just going through my worship playlist, and it came on, and I really just listened to the words, and it was so powerful. Like, yeah. I feel like I struggle a lot with becoming so used to a certain way that God speaks or moves to where I prefer it.
Mm-hmm.
And this song is kind of just like a reminder to worship God in his fullness and not just your preference.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good message.
What if it doesn't look like what I thought it would? What if you come in ways I didn't know you could? Offend my mind, reveal my heart. I won't worship my preference anymore. Right here, if you walked in this room, would I recognize you and want you to stay? Or would I not know you and reason you away? Don't just come how I want you, come how you are. What if it doesn't look like what I thought it would? What if you come in ways I didn't know you could? Offend my mind, reveal my heart. I won't worship my preference anymore. Right now, if you whisper my name, would I know your voice and would I ache to respond? Or would I not hear you, cause all else is too loud? Oh, you have my attention, speak to me now. What if it doesn't look like what I thought it would? What if you come in ways I didn't know you could? Offend my mind, my preference anymore. I won't worship my preference anymore. I won't worship my preference anymore. If you come like fire, would I believe that it's you? And if you came like wind, would I still know you're in the room? You are Alpha, and somehow you're still Omega. I want your fullness, not just my preference. If you came like fire, would I believe that it's you? Know you're in the room. You are Alpha. Jesus, Father, Holy Spirit, you are friend of sinners, Emmanuel, Messiah, desire of nations. You are Savior, Redeemer, Healer, King of Kings, Prince of Peace, Comforter and Rescuer. You are the resurrection and the life. You are the author, perfecter, and the finisher. Alpha and Omega, beginning and end. You are light of the world, hope of glory. Lord of lords, you're the lifter of the lowly. You're our bridegroom, deliverer. Boundless one, risen sun, high and lifted up. Lord and creator. Right now, will you walk in this room? I'll recognize you and want you to stay. Oh, I won't reason you away. Don't just come how I want you. Come how you are. Don't just come how I'm used to you. Come how you are.
So like many songs on the list, I'd never heard that song before, but I was listening to them very intentionally, you know, looking at the lyrics and such, and I was halfway through that song in my office, and I was just a wreck. I was a mess, because it just, I heard the message, it spoke to me, that how often do I want what I want, when I want, how I want it? And I don't think I'm the only one, especially if there's a song written about that. And then what was interesting, I was done that song, you know, I'm clearing my eyes. And then there was the next song, I think it came from Kate's mom, and I was listening to this one, and then I'm crying all over again. It was a rough couple of days going through some of these songs. But I love music, and it speaks to our hearts, and God delivers messages. And so we want to talk about this. Preferences. Do you have any preferences? Sports teams? Yeah, you know, Green Bay, Vikings, whatever it may be. How about restaurants? Favorite places you like to go, places you don't like to go. Foods. Any preferences? That was always fun with our kids growing up. Boy, you should have seen my middle child in onions. Oh, my word. It's amazing he survived. Preferences. Husbands, wives, how do you get the toothpaste out of the toothpaste tube? Any preferences on that? Any arguments ever? Any fights on that one? How about how to load the dishwasher? Any preferences? Oh, yeah, we got one here. Yeah, plenty of marriage counseling is available, you know, for those sort of things. Vehicles, preferences. You know, we can look with disdain when that other brand goes by, you know. Me, if it just doesn't have rust, I like it. It just, it's all, that's my preference. How about music genres? Or years of music, you know, the oldies or whatnot. Don't we have preferences? Aren't there things that we know we like, but it's not just what we like, it's also what we dislike. And sometimes we voice that, or we give words to the preferences of things we don't like. So how about in the church? Do you have preferences in the church? How about lighting? Or music? Do you have preferences in music? How about sermon styles? You don't have to answer that one. Ministries. What ministries are available? How the ministries are done? When the ministries are? How often they are? You got any preferences of how you think they should go? How about Bible versions? Do you have preferences on that? Do you have preferences with God? And I think the answer is, yes, we do. So let's look into that. The Word, the Bible, God, and preferences. How about ways God speaks to us? Through the Bible, through prayer. God speaks to us through wise counsel, through sermons. God can speak to us through nature, through wind, through fire, earthquakes. God can speak to us through donkeys. Now, if you're at that point, oh boy. God can speak to us through angels, through dreams, through visions. He can speak to us in a still small voice or a loud, audible voice from heaven or through a pillar of cloud. So there's a list. What's your preference? When you look at that, you go, yeah, I like that one. Is there one on that list that you're like, I could do without the donkey? How about ways God teaches us according to His Word? Well, God teaches us through the Bible, of course, through messages or sermons, Bible studies, through counsel, through wisdom. God can speak wisdom and teach you, don't touch the fire, it's hot. Okay? There's wisdom there. God can teach us through the Holy Spirit, through angels. But what about the second half of this list? Can God teach you through hurt, offense, disease, famine, conquest, defeat, illness, death? What's your preference? Is there a part, if you had this written in front of you, would you X out a few of those? Hey, God, not that one. Don't use that one. Definitely don't use that one. No, use this one over and over and over again. God, if you're going to teach me, just give me wisdom. How about ways God spreads the good news? Through the Bible, He can. Through messages. Through testimony. Miracles. Healings. Prophecy. Worship. Overcoming. What's that last one? Martyrdom. Any preferences on that list? Anything you're like, yeah, God, I'll take all those except that last category. I'd rather not take that for 1,000. People God uses to spread the good news. Me. You. Do you have a preference? We are supposed to be the light of the world. We're supposed to go into all the world proclaiming Jesus Christ, making disciples. Who do you want to do that? Well, I'll let my pastor take care of that. I'll let my parents take care of that. Do you have a preference? Ways God blesses us. He can do it through unmerited favor. He'll just give you stuff. But can God bless you through loss? Can God bless your life by removing something that shouldn't be there? What do you prefer? Oh, God, just give me free stuff, please. You know, be the God of Publishers Clearinghouse. Kids don't even know what that is. Just give me the free stuff. Ways God brings us victory. Through victory and through defeat. What did the world think the cross was? Defeat. Jesus lost His life. But through defeat, we can have great victory. What's your preference? What would you rather have? You want to win all your battles, don't you? Right? Ways God heals you. Immediately, through spoken authority coming against in the name of Jesus, the spirit of infirmity, by your faith, by the faith of others, through submission and obedience, over time, in this life, in the next. What do you prefer? What do you want? When you pray for healing, what are you expecting? And when you don't get that preference or that expectation, what do you think? Time that it takes to fulfill His promises. God says, I'll do this for you immediately. Maybe later. What's your preference? When God has promised things to you. Ways God receives praise and worship. Various. Do you have a preference? What's the best way to worship God? What's the best style? Is it hymns? Is it contemporary? Is it screamo rock music with guitars and drums and flashing lights? Do you have a preference? Or do you ever look at other styles and go, yeah, that's not it. God's not in that. How about ways God shows love and mercy? Through others, through you. Think about that. Where does God want to show love? We sing, God loves you. He loves everyone here. How does God want to show his love? Through you. But we'd rather other people show God's love because I don't like that person's hairstyle or sports team they go for. They sing weird. They look funny. They're not my preference. I want God to send me, if he's going to send me into the world, I want him to send me to English-speaking, educated, well-rounded, good old blue-blooded Americans. That's who I want to go. That's my preference, God. Put that down. What's your preference? I believe your preference is blinding you to who God is and what he does. The Bible tells us he is the Alpha and the Omega. That's the first and last alphabet or letter in the Greek alphabet. He's the beginning and the end. He's the starter or the author and the finisher. Now, when I read those things in the Word, which is truth of who he is, I ask the question, yeah, but what about the middle part? If he started it and he's going to finish it, what about this middle part? What about all the other letters in the alphabet? Do you know who that is? That's you and me. But I'd prefer God to take care of everything. The beginning, the middle, and the end. I want him to do it all. Justice and mercy. We know God is justice and mercy. In what order? When do we apply justice and when do we apply mercy? What do you pray for when you're going through something? God, oh, please show your justice in my life. Has anyone ever prayed that? Or do we pray for mercy? I know what I want in my life. I know what I want in your life. Justice and mercy. God, show me your mercy. But that other person, yeah, they've used too many of their lives. They let them go. Preferences. God's love versus God's wrath. It's both in the Word. What do you prefer? God's love or God's wrath in your life? And if he's showing wrath, what's your conclusion? As I ask the team members that perform these songs, give me a little explanation. I got a quote from Kate, which is brilliant. She said, "Who am I to pick and choose God's characteristics as if they don't all fit together perfectly?" That's perfect. Who are we? Who are we to pick and choose God's characteristics or the qualities that he should apply at different times? We want to put them together like a puzzle, and he's trying to tell us, hands off. I'm God. You're not. It's not what you pick and choose. It's not your preferences. God's trying to tell us, why are you trying to change me to fit your world when I'm trying to change you to fit mine? If a young child dies, what do we think? What's our preference? God doesn't care. If someone hurts me, someone in the church hurts me, well, God isn't good. The church is a failure. Or God hasn't answered my prayer in my time, my way. So then God isn't real. Why do I even pray? We have these thoughts, we have these concepts, we have these preferences. I believe your preference is that no one gets sick, no one is hurt, no one dies, and no one cries. Sounds awful lot like heaven and not earth. I think your preference is that no one has to work, no one has to change, no one has to suffer, no one has to sacrifice, no one has to be obedient. Is that not our preference? Is that not what we want and what we pray for and what we look for? And when we don't see that, we think something, God is off, he's missing something, he's not doing things right. But your preference is not God. We don't worship our preference, we worship God and who he is. God doesn't reside in a box, the title of this message. God doesn't reside in a box of your making. In the Old Testament, God created the Ark of the Covenant. It was a golden box. But God didn't reside in it. He rested upon it. But I think we've been trying to stuff God into a box, hoping that we can take this box, this magical box, wherever we go, and put it in the middle of it, middle of something and go, God, fix it. That's our preference. God, do things my way. We keep trying to stuff God into our box of understanding, our box of preference. When I heard the song, and I don't know about you, for many of you, that was probably the first time you heard that song, and you're looking at the lyrics. As I read through it again, it eventually stirred me, but right off the bat, there was a lyric that struck me. In the chorus, it said, offend my mind, reveal my heart. And you know what happened to me? I got offended. When I read that, I'm like, is that scriptural? Would God offend me? Now, the lyric doesn't say, offend me, God. It says, offend my mind. I wonder if that's true. In order for God to reveal my heart, he's got to go after my mind. He's got to offend my preferences. I think that is scriptural. God wants your heart. It's your heart that brings you to heaven, not your mind. Your mind is in the way of your heart. Your upbringing, your hurts, your training, your education, your experiences, they're all parked in your brain. And God is trying to maneuver around that. He's trying to get around your mind to get at the one thing that can experience life and life abundantly, and that is your heart. So how can God get past your mind, your preferences? By faith. By believing, yes, absolutely. We can just believe that God is God and who he says he is, and all of his qualities will take him as they come. We can believe that and have faith, yes. But what if that doesn't work? I'm sure nobody here has ever struggled with believing God is who he says he is, or he does the things he wants his way. So what if just believing and faith doesn't work? God might offend your mind. We're going to read a scripture here in John chapter 6, if you have your Bibles. It's a rather long reading, but I want you to see as we go through this, there's going to be a back and forth between Jesus and those he's speaking with. And I want you to clearly see that Jesus is going after heart, but the audience is stuck in their minds. And so what does Jesus do? He offends. Now what we need to know before we start reading here is that Jesus, previous day, just got done miraculously feeding 5,000 people. He showed the people he can do anything. And what did they see? Well, that was a good meal. I want some more. And also, after that, Jesus walks upon the water. He can do anything. And his disciples are sitting there going, what just happened? They thought he was a ghost because their mind was trying to explain what they see. Okay, so feeding 5,000, walk on water, that was the precursor to this. John chapter 6, reading 25 through 69, reading out of the New Living Translation because that is my preference. Verse 25, they found him on the other side of the lake and asked, Rabbi, when did you get here? They're trying to figure it out, right? How and when. Well, how did he get there? Well, he walked. Does he explain that to them? No, they wouldn't understand. He walked on the water. But why are they looking for him? Verse 26, Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. You want to be with me because I fed you, not because you understand the miraculous signs. He's saying to them, your brain is looking for food. You're hungry again. It's another day. Your minds are activated. It's listening to your stomach. And you're like, well, we're going to go to Jesus because he's a grocery store and we can get whatever we want. He's the latest McDonald's. We just put in our order and he'll give it to us. Their minds are working. 27. But don't be concerned about perishable things like food. Spend your energy seeking the eternal life that the Son of Man can give you. For God the Father has given me the seal of his approval. What is Jesus trying to do? He's trying to refocus them. They're thinking mind, physical, hunger. And he says, don't look at those things. Look at spiritual things. What are spiritual things? They're of the heart. Verse 28. They replied, we want to perform God's works too. What should we do? They're saying, Jesus, can you teach us the step-by-steps so we can do neat things like you're doing? You know, that feeding the 5,000, that's kind of neat. Oh, we heard you walked on water. That's kind of neat. Can you show us how to do that? Because we want to do those things. We want to perform those miracles. Their mind wants to do and perform. They're looking at performance, not the outcome. God's looking at the outcome. He wants changed hearts. Jesus is. Verse 29. Jesus told them, this is the only work God wants from you. Believe in the one he has sent. This is the message that he is trying to go at over and over again. You got to believe in your heart. You got to believe in your heart. Get your mind out of the way. It's going to cause problems. Verse 30. They answered, no, show us a miraculous sign if you want us to believe in you. What can you do? After all, our ancestors ate manna while they journeyed through the wilderness. The scripture says Moses gave them bread from heaven to eat. They just said, no, the only way for us to believe in our hearts is if you prove it to our minds. Prove it to us. And while you're at it, can you give us some food? Because, you know, making and baking bread and getting all that stuff, it's really a lot of work. So just give us free stuff and we'll believe in you. And they're even saying, Moses proved it. That's what he did. Jesus counters in 32. I tell you the truth. Moses didn't give you bread from heaven. My Father did. They're confused. They're understanding. Jesus is coming right after. Continuing in 32. And now he offers you the true bread from heaven. Ooh, true bread. Is that like Quick Trip bread? What's this taste like? Is it, did it have, never mind. 33. The true bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. True bread is spirit food for the heart. So what do they think? 34. Sir, they said, give us that bread every day. We want that bread that we don't have to go to the grocery store anymore. What's activated? Their minds. They're thinking. Do you see the back and forth that's going on here? Jesus is trying everything he can to get at their hearts for them to believe, and they're stuck in their brains. Just like you and me. We're stuck in our preferences and our brain. 35. Jesus replied, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty, but you haven't believed in me even though you have seen me. Why? Because you're looking at me with your minds. You're not looking at me in my heart, with your heart. 37, however, those the Father has given me will come to me and I will never reject him. He's saying those that bypass their minds and their preferences and believe me with their heart, they I can save. 38. For I have come down from heaven to do the will of God who has sent me, not my own will, not to do my own will. And this is the will of God, that I should not lose even one of those who he has given me, but that I should raise them up in the last day. For it is my Father's will that all who see his Son and believe in him should have eternal life. I will raise them up at the last day. Again, those that believe in their hearts, they will save, not their minds. 41. Then the people began to murmur in disagreement because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They said, isn't this Jesus, the son of Joseph? We know his father and his mother. How can he say, I came down from heaven? What are they doing? They're rationalizing. They're trying to explain. They're trying to understand in their brains. And we sang in this song, one of the lyrics was, "Would I not know you and reason you away?" Sometimes God can do a miracle in our life. God can do something amazing in our life. And yet we go, yeah, but I think it was the medicine. I think it's because of this new diet I'm on. We can reason God away and his miraculous things pretty simply. And that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to rationalize him. But it's also interesting here, the murmuring and disagreement. These are good signs that one is offended or on their way. And he's not done yet. 43. But Jesus replied, "Stop complaining about what I said. For no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them to me. In the last day I'll raise them up." He said all this before. 45, "As it is written in scriptures, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me. Not that anyone has ever seen the Father, only I, who was sent from God, has seen him." He's saying again, God draws hearts, not minds. But here we go. See, right here, the murmuring and complaining, that's where I would like Jesus to stop and go, okay, let's take a little break. Here, let me explain this a different way. Let's break it down like kindergarten style, right? Let's do a little song. Let's do some hand puppets so I can describe this to you for you to understand. Let me explain it simply and clear. Is that what Jesus does? 47. "I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me has eternal life. Yes, I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, but they all died." Because that's mind food. "Anyone who eats the bread from heaven, however, will never die." Ooh, I like this. 51, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Anyone who eats this bread," oh boy, here it comes, "will live forever. And this bread, which I offer so that the world may live, is my flesh."
I won't drop it.
Okay, all right. Mic drop. Mic drop. "You have to eat my flesh." How do you think that went over with the crowd? Do you think anyone scoffed? Were there any shrieks or whatnot? Anybody? What do you think happened? "You got to eat my flesh." Okay, Jesus. You really messed this one up. 52. "Then the people began to argue with each other about what he meant. 'How can this man give us his flesh to eat?' they asked." They're offended. Steps of offense. Murmuring, disagreeing, and now all out arguing. He wants us to eat him? What's happening? All their minds are exploding. Pop, 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 all across the way. He just offended their minds. But unlike a good Christian who would never offend anyone, he doesn't apologize. He actually keeps going. 53. So Jesus said, "Again, I tell you the truth. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood," oh, stop it, "you cannot have eternal life within you. But anyone who eats my flesh and drinks my blood is eternal life, and I will raise that person in the last day." Jesus, stop it. Look at their faces. They're getting sick. This isn't going over well. Try a new tactic. Nope. 55. "For my flesh is true food and my blood is true drink. Anyone who eats my flesh and drinks my blood," I think he said this before, "remains in me and I in him. I live because of the living Father who sent me. In the same way, anyone who feeds on me will live because of me. I am the true bread that came down from heaven. Anyone who eats this bread will not die as your ancestors did, even though they ate the manna, but will live forever. I love this. 59. He said these things while he was teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. Where did he offend them? In the church. Why do I like this one? I just got a permission slip from my heavenly Father. Offense. Preferences. And Jesus is doing it in the church. To those that are following him, that are seeking after him, he's offending their minds. Oh, that's not Christian-like. Verse 60. Many of his disciples said, "This is very hard to understand." There's an understatement. "How can anyone accept it?" They're saying to him, "Jesus, our minds are glitching right now. We need a reboot. Please help us." 61. Jesus, aware that his disciples were complaining, so he said to them, "Does this offend you?" I think Jesus has a sense of humor. I think he knows what's going on. "Does this offend you?" Maybe I'll use that regularly here. "I'm sorry. Does this offend you?" 62. "Then what will you think if you see the Son of Man ascend to heaven again?" He almost takes a detour, but he's on the same subject. "You're offended that I'm telling you, you need me in your life. Maybe you're messed up with the words, but it's true. You need me. You need to consume the bread, the living water, and I am him. You need Jesus in your life. You need to have a steady diet of Jesus, 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 Jesus. And you're offended. So what's going to happen in, a little while, when I ascend to heaven, I leave you behind? What are you going to do then? Because your preference is that I'm here and I remain forever. But that's not my preference. That's not God's preference. He has a different plan. So what's going to happen if you think this is offending? What's going to happen when I leave?" And we know what happens. They scattered. Because they were offended. 63. "The Spirit alone gives eternal life. Human effort accomplishes nothing. And the very words I have spoken to you are spirit and life, but some of you don't believe me. For Jesus knew from the beginning which ones didn't believe, and he knew which would betray him. Then he said, 'That is why I said the people can't come to me unless the Father gives them to me.' God draws hearts, not minds." 66. "At this point, many of his disciples turned away and deserted him." Why? He spoke truth, but the truth offended them. What sort of world do we live in today? A world that is offended by truth. And so what do they do? Just like we read in Daniel, they speak against you, they make commands, they throw you in a pit, they seal it, they all stand over it with their signet rings and say, "Yes, you are wrong for speaking the truth," and they try to throw us in danger, threatening our lives, our livelihood. We live in a world that cannot handle the truth because the truth of God offends our minds. And even in the church, God is having a hard time speaking truth because we're getting offended. I don't think it should be that way. I don't like that style. I don't like that version. Even in the church, we are struggling, and many of them deserted. Verse 67. Then Jesus turned to the 12. So there was a bunch of disciples, but the 12 didn't leave. Jesus turned to the 12 and asked, "Are you going to leave? Are you also going to leave?" I love it. 68, Simon Peter replied, "Lord, to whom would we go? You have the words that give eternal life." You're speaking to our hearts. "We believe and we know that you are the Holy One of God." Amen. They get it. Their heart is trumping their minds. They believe, and yet they still don't understand. I love it. Welcome to the church, people. Welcome to a relationship with God. Welcome to the truth, reading the Bible. Something in me says, "I believe this is true, but boy, it doesn't make any sense. I don't know how to comprehend this. I don't know what's going on in my life, but everyone keeps telling me God loves me. I'm not seeing it. At least not the way I want it. I believe. Help me in my unbelief. I believe, but I don't understand." And then someone next to you is going through something, and you're like, "What do I say to them? Because I don't even know what's going on." Welcome to the body of Christ. Welcome to a relationship with God where we must believe with our hearts and bypass our minds. I think, maybe this isn't scripturally, maybe this is the wrong choice of words. I think God is messing with y'all. He's messing with your brains, with your minds. He is attacking your preferences. And I say to you, let him. Accept him. In fact, ask for it. God, offend my mind today. Change my thinking. God, do things to me that gets my mind out of the way so that I can believe you with my whole heart. And how does he do that? Well, as Kate had shared, one of the lyrics says, and not just in the way that I'm used to. God, work on me in a new way, in a different way. Come how you really are, not how I want you to be. Speak to me when you want to speak to me, how you want to speak to me, where you want to speak to me. Not when I set aside 5 minutes in the morning before I go off to work. Great, yeah, God can speak to you then. But is that the only time? Does he need to schedule an appointment in your life? Well, that's what I'd prefer. I'd like him to fit my schedule. I mean, he's omnipotent, all-powerful. Can he wait? No. God, speak to me your way, in your timing. God, keep messing with my mind, because it keeps getting me in trouble. All the wives look at their husbands and go, amen, amen. Our brains get in the way. But our heart is crying out for the truth. And in this world, the world is crying out for truth. And we can't tiptoe any longer when we are speaking the truth. Around each other, in our families, we need to speak the truth. God offends minds. It's a tactic he uses. But the way through it is to believe. Believe with your hearts. Let's pray. Lord, I remember sitting in Pastor Virgil Amundsen's office with another future pastor and future missionary, and we all felt a call to pastoral. Pastor Virgil said, are you sure? Because this is going to be hard. And Lord, I don't think that's just being a pastor. Like, it's believing in you and trusting in you that it's not designed to be easy. Because the hard path solidifies our beliefs in you. And so, Lord, I pray, show us the difficult path you've laid before us. But before we step out, Lord, let us learn to trust you and believe you with our whole heart. Because you are going to ask us to do things that we might not understand. You may ask us to say things that we may not fully comprehend. But Lord, we want your path in our lives. And Lord, there are many here this morning that are struggling with something that they can't figure out how it got there, why it's there, and why it's not leaving. And Lord, you're trying to get us all to that point of rescue where the only outcome is to believe that you can shut the mouths of lions and you can come through with a miracle. So Lord, I want to believe you with my whole heart, not my mind. Lord, I want to trust you with my whole heart, not just with what I can see. Lord, I want to give you my all. And I want to worship you for who you are, not who I imagine you to be. Because my imagination of who you are is pretty lame. For you are greater, you are more powerful than anything I can comprehend. And yet, you still love me. How cool is that? So help us, Father, to believe you in our hearts. And let us learn to accept words and challenges, either through the word, through messages, Lord, through brothers and sisters, iron sharpening iron, Lord, that might tend to offend our hearts. Because when we're offended, we have a great chance of growing and growing in you. So we love you and we trust you, Father, and you alone. In Jesus' name, amen.